was a, and of course we had the Yeomanry Lodge Club as well. That was our bar, if you like, downstairs. And the food wasn't great.
No,
it wasn't good at all. But the people, I mean, the cleaners were really so patient when I look back, and so kind and welcoming. Our manageress then was a lady called Elizabeth Chisholm, and she must have had the patience of a saint. I think you mentioned the other day Mrs. Barker, the famous Ma Barker. I didn't experience her, but she was legendary, strict disciplinarian. Elizabeth was much more modern, younger lady, and much more relaxed, but again, very, very patient. We had the lovely grounds, of course, of the hostel. They were always kept up to a very high standard, and in the summer they were lovely to sit in. We had the Yeomanry Lodge Club,
right?
So it was a club, but if you lived in the hostel, you could get membership, providing somebody signed for you. Mm. So you can get that pretty quickly if you lived in the hostel. In fact, in the early days, that was the only way you could become a member of the club, was to live in the hostel or be a member of one of the subsections of the club. That was the only way you could get in. And then it was a club in the actual old house. So that used to open straight after work until 10 o'clock, because it's a 10 o'clock closing in those days. But then the Viewfirth over the road, that opened a bit later. And that, at that time, we used to have a dance every Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
In Viewfirth?
In Viewfirth, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It was very popular, I believe.
Oh, very popular. Yeah. It was pretty much the only place, really, that could cater for that. The way in then was a lot smaller, of course. The park was the other place that occasionally had dances, but there was no nightclub in the town then.
Mm. Yeah. I suppose there was town hall. There was the dances in the town hall, maybe?
The dances in the town hall. Well, there's two things, really. The dances in the town hall had just about finished by then. There was an occasional one. We were talking about the mid-70s now. I think they were famous up to the sort of end of the 60s. But there was also a sort of invisible dividing line for the lads normally. They wouldn't really venture too far down the town. Top of the hill, Viewfirth, fine, Yeomanry Lodge Club. But on a Saturday, occasionally into the pubs in the town. But they weren't, in those days, terribly welcomed by the local lads. So we steered a bit clear. Certainly, we wouldn't venture across the river.
Oh, all right, yeah. And was there many girls or ladies staying? Or was it all boys?
In the hostel, there was one or two. In fact, yeah. I met my future wife. She moved into the hostel and not long after me, actually, and we started a relationship within 6 months of me arriving up here. And I remember, because I thought it was a bit daft, we were paying for two rooms, and so I went to see Jack Selby, who was then the housing manager, and asked if we could get a flat. And he looked over his glasses and informed me that the authority did not cater for informal arrangements.
Oh.
So it wasn't until we got married that we got a house.
Yeah.
In fact, we moved out of the hostel and lived on a caravan site for a few months before we got married.
Yeah. So it must have been quite intimidating for the girls then, really, to have so many guys there.
Yes, but if I remember the characters that were there, they were capable of holding them all at bay.
Yeah.
Because there was a couple of lasses that came from the west, and they couldn't really travel to and from. Mm. I can't remember where the bus. I think the bus may have gone as far as Betty Hill, but I seem to recall Armidale was the stopping point for the bus.
Yeah.
So if you came from Tongue, you were allowed to get a room in the hostel.
Yeah.
So, but they were pretty strong women.
Yeah. Was it quite a riot in the place? I mean, you mentioned the bar being open for 5 to 10. I mean, was it busy?
The bar was quite busy, but of course it wasn't all young, it wasn't all hostel residents. There were older people who had lived in the hostel, gone out, lived now in the town, but were still able to keep their membership. So it wasn't a young person's place, so there were a spattering of younger folk in there. Viewforth was more the place for them. But it was a bit riotous sometimes, especially when everybody arrived back, when everything had closed in the town, and sometimes with carryouts, and there was parties, and 7 days a week, really. It was quite a riotous place. So it had a night porter, or several night porters who took it in turns. They were kept pretty busy, and mostly picking up people who had fallen asleep in the canteen when they came back in. And there were the other facility I forgot to mention, of course, was that there were TV rooms. There was a TV room for each of the three channels there was there. So BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV.
All right. So you had no argument over changing channels?
No, you had none of that. But the BBC Two room was very small. And I recall that the first, 1975 it must have been, Fawlty Towers started. And everybody wanted to see that. And there was only about 20 seats in the BBC Two room. So people were on the floor, on the windows, and it was just—it was a BBC Two program that everybody wanted to see.
Yeah.
But you couldn't go into one of the other rooms and change the channel. No, that was absolute no-no. Even though there might have been one person in the much bigger Grampian room,
you
just couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And did you have a snooker room as well?
Yes, there was a snooker room downstairs.
Yeah.
Just the one. I think it's just the one. I think, yes. Latterly, there was a pool table in another, they put in another room. It was just the one snooker room, so you had to book that.
All right, okay. Yeah. And latterly, could Thurso residents, could they join the club and come in? And
much later, when, before we move on that, there was a what they called a games hut. Outside, so there was table tennis in there. And one day I was wandering around in there and I found a cricket kit. And this was a kit that was put together, I guess, brought. Les Rowe and Ken Butler told me that cricket was played in the 50s and 60s. And then it sort of, as the guys who introduced that, who were people who came in to Dounreay from England, and as that died away, this kit was just bundled away and left. Anyway, I got it out and got a few lads, and we got out on Viewforth Green and started up cricket, which went right the way through till I hung up my boots in about 2000. After 2000. And we had, at one time, we had about 7 or 8 teams in the county. We used to travel to Orkney and Shetland and have a summer tour down to Perth every year, in Perthshire, I should say.
Mm.
So it got it never got as big as football by any means, but it was quite a game going there. And it still carries on to this day, much less than it was in the late 70s and early 80s, but it still continues.
Yeah, and what was the name of the club? The cricket club?
The one I sort of started off, we just called ourselves the Ormley Lodge Cricket Club, but we had a team from here. We had a workshops team from here. We had a team from Bower who they played up next to the Monument in Bower, so they called themselves the Monument Cricket Club, MCC for short. And we had two teams out of Wick. There's a tradition. If you go to the Wick Museum, you'll see that the Wick, the Oliphants Cricket Club, is older than any of the football clubs in Wick. It's the oldest team sport in Wick.
Mm.
So Oliphants was resurrected, and we had two other teams out of Wick. We had a league of about 8 at one time.
Now, full 11-a-side cricket.
Full 11-a-side cricket, yeah. And we played 6-a-side as well.
All right.
Played 6-a-side in the week and 11-a-side at the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And were you the top cricketer?
No, I couldn't say that. There was always some good players that came in from the south, and particularly into Dounreay. You know, it was always a question of trying to get them before any other teams got them.
We
didn't play at a high standard at all, but we all enjoyed it.
Good. So the general atmosphere in Ormley Lodge, I mean, how would you describe that, John?
It was very friendly. I mean, a crucible, I suppose. Certainly there was people from all over the UK, Englishmen, Scotsmen, Irishmen, Islanders, Welshmen even, and so there was from every part. Not so much from the deep south, but in other words, there weren't many London. There were a few Londoners there, and I struck up quite long friendships with people from London, but mostly from the Midlands and north of England, the northwest as well, because of the links with the northwest of England with around Risley and designer, the design teams from there. And all over Scotland, and about half of them would have been Dounreay workers, and the other half contractors, because PFR was still being built, of course. Then.
Yeah.
But it was everybody got on really well. It was it was our home. So you couldn't have. There was occasional disagreements, even fights, but. But mostly the atmosphere was really good. Christmas time, a big Christmas dinner, which was always a bit riotous.
Yeah, in the place, was it?
And they pulled the stops out there for the food. Always, they had a good Christmas dinner. But it was like I imagine the university halls must have been in a sense, but perhaps a bit more rowdy. Because of the imbalance, it sort of be like 170 men and 10 women.
I mean, did many stay for years and years?
There were some older residents there, especially who I mean, there's one man I remember. I can't remember his name, but he was 20 years in the hostel, and he had two rooms, one of which was his library. So he had converted this room totally into bookshelves, and then he left here and went to Risley, and he set up in Colchester in the hostel there. And when he retired from UKAEA, he was a bit lost. He had to go and find himself a flat and moved out of the hostel environment, because up to then he'd been taken care of, his food and everything. But so there were one or two other residents there who had been there for like a decade. But I was quite most people were almost peripatetic. They came for short periods and then disappeared, went back from whence they came. But or they got married and moved out into a house, which is eventually what we did. So I was there about 2 years.